Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Laporte, your host of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes. Each week, we help busy leaders navigate through complex and versatile times with practical solutions for real-life challenges. This week's episode is about unexpectedly having a new boss, being asked to reapply for the job that you're in. And in our In the Fire segment, our special guest, steel industry commercial executive, Anil Janji, shares how he handled the transition working for 5 CEOs in less than a decade. Let's get started with this week's curveball. It's all about having a new boss unexpectedly. So your boss was fired or resigned without any notice. Let's face it, with the pace of change and uncertainty, this is becoming more of a common occurrence, but it is still unsettling. Uncertainty is the new norm, and the playbooks we relied on in the past are no longer useful. So in this particular situation where it was unexpected, expectations are unclear and uncertain. So you will need to keep your team focused and on track, especially if there's a void until a new boss comes in. You will need to be the person that provides emotional steadiness for your team, as you are the point of continuity and reassurance for them. And while uncertainty can put you on the defense, this is definitely the time to take the offense and put you and your team in the best possible position going forward. So here are 3 suggestions I have for you in this situation. First, get to know your new boss, once that person is named, their immediate goals and management style. What's important to them? How do they want to communicate? How do they lead? That way you can tailor your approach to who they are and what they need. Secondly, offer to help them to get off to a positive start. If they're new to the organization, let them know that they can count on you to help identify the key people they need to know. And this might not always be the obvious ones on the organization chart. And also the unwritten cultural norms of the company. You can be a strong guide and navigator for a new boss coming into the organization and help them get off to a fast start. And the third thing would be consider how to apply and deploy the strengths of you and your team to your new boss's priorities. Because whether you like it or not, the game has changed. The sooner you align what you and your team can contribute to help your new boss be successful, the more you'll be seen as a player and a critical piece of this new puzzle. And during this time of transition, you might find ways to accelerate progress on key initiatives by leveraging your team's strengths and past successes. One thing is certain, this will not be the last time you experience the new boss situation. So take the offense and make it a true learning opportunity for you and your team. Next up, our confidence killer. And so we're back with this week's confidence killer, which is you've been asked to reapply for your current job. I'm starting to see this emerging practice more and more as companies reorg, reshuffle talent, and reboot their organization to match the changing needs of the business with their leadership talent. No doubt, this can be very unsettling to even the most confident and competent leaders, particularly if you've been performing well and contributing and getting good feedback. One way to look at this is to look, view it as an opportunity to honestly and thoughtfully inventory what you really do well and what you enjoy doing so that you can find the right fit in the organization. So if this happens to you, here's some steps I would suggest that you take if you've been asked to reapply for your current job. Number one, look critically at all the jobs that are posted for application. And this is often the case where a department will post all the jobs at a certain level and open them up to everyone. So look at those to see what else out there might appeal to you. But don't overextend and oversubscribe yourself by applying to too many. This is an indication that you're not sure of your value proposition and that maybe you feel desperate. Number two, really take the time to assess your strengths and talents. Look at your previous performance feedback, take some online assessments if they're available, even ask a trusted colleague or two for their assessment of your strengths with tangible examples. Number three, consider what kind of work you really like to do and the environment in which you thrive. So do you like managing a big team? Would you rather experience the intimacy of a smaller team? Are you ready to be an individual contributor? All those environments, organizational settings are important to consider. Fourth, take the longer term view. So how can you use this turn of events to revisit your current role and how it fits into your overall career plan? So maybe a job in another area will give you a different, fresh perspective and create a platform for what's next. And then finally, consider how you can make this turn of events an opportunity to increase your visibility in the company, to amplify your contribution, and to show people what you're really good at. And how can you take advantage of this change as an opportunity to stand out from your peers? Because this is a very unsettling situation, and most of them are probably feeling wounded and worried and wondering what's next, and will soon find themselves on the sidelines wondering what happened. You can't control what's already happened, but you can control your attitude and approach to this potential confidence killer. That's it for our confidence killer of the week. In the Fire is up next and starts in a few seconds, featuring steel industry commercial executive Anil Janji, who successfully transitioned reporting to 5 different CEOs in less than 10 years. We're back again with In the Fire, and today we're joined by our special guest, Anil Janji, who is Director of Markets, Customer and Shared Services for Tata Steel Europe, which includes markets in the Americas, Europe, and Asia. Anil has been with Tata Steel for 28 years, and in addition to his current directorship, he also holds a number of other executive roles in the organization. I am very excited to have Anil join us for this week's In the Fire segment to share how he managed the challenge of working for 5 different CEOs in the last decade. Anil, welcome. That sounds like quite a challenge. Please tell us about it.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm really excited to be on this recording, and thank you for the opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. If you look at the last 10 years, in my views, we have been amazingly gifted because every CEO who has come and joined our organization has come with unique talents and unique skill set, which assists them to form a point of view on what they would want to achieve in the organization and the course they would like to take and the kind of core team required to do so. Similarly, all of us as individuals and leaders have our own identity and the skill set we have developed or blessed with. And if there's a perfect match in demand and supply, then one enjoys the adrenaline in leading the objectives. And if the match is not as strong, I have seen, one should just accept developments gracefully. Mm-hmm. And continue to deliver in areas where our strengths can value add without compromising on the beliefs. I found that as a leader, one is more effective by not going against one's grain every so often. Once in a while to do so, to test if our preferences have changed in life is always good. You never know unless you give it a try. Do you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you never know. And I'm sure that working with that many different CEO styles over that period of time presented its own challenges. So share a little bit about it, because you said they all have very different styles. So what did you learn about your own leadership style when you were working with these executives who had very different styles?
Yeah, so if I reflect back on the last 10 years, we have had some amazing leaders. The first gentleman I worked with, he had amazing amount of charisma, and he would charm all the stakeholders alike. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, the next gentleman who came in, he was quite a visionary in terms of being able to direct the organizations towards keeping the customers in the center of all decision making. And we changed the operating model, and there was a lot of learning involved there as well. And thereafter. There was a strong disciplinarian who walked into the organization, very dynamic, and then centralized the whole organization towards one common goal. So off and on, you pick up all these attributes from each of these leaders. And last CEO had a very forward focus, and he actually spent a lot of time turning the organization towards not being spending too much time on post-mortem, but also spending the time on how to look forward and plan for the future. And the current CEO, who just stepped in and with whom I've had the pleasure to work for the last 5-6 years, is high on empathy, belief in empowering leaders who are trustworthy, and selects the desired team in a very meticulous manner.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, it's amazing to have worked with all of them. Obviously, it's quite scary. Imagine if one single individual would have all these talents, which is not obviously possible. But in a nutshell, I think I've gained a lot in spite of the challenges of having to shift gear and accommodate and find ways of adjusting of different ways of working.
Right. I like the way that you described it as a gift of having so many different CEOs. It is disruptive and it is challenging for everyone. But I think the opportunity, as you've laid it out, is that you get to see so many different styles and the trade-offs between them and what's effective and what isn't. And you're able to adapt from that and add to your own style. Maybe there's something that you would like to be doing more of. And so you see that in a CEO and you watch them and you see how they role model that. And then you're able to adapt it and try it and incorporate it into your own style. So I think that's a really healthy way to look at those kind of executive changes is, what can I take from this experience? What can I learn from it? Because as you said, it's a major change. Every new CEO brings their own style and their own philosophy to the organization. And so my last question, Anil, would be, so with all these changes, share with us a little bit about how you guided your team through these.
Yeah, that can be quite a difficult task, because sometimes if you have an observant style, you can understand what is happening around you in the organization and why different behaviors or why different leaders sort of conduct themselves in a different manner and lead the organization in a different manner. But if you're not observant and if you're following what the advice is coming your way, it can be quite challenging to make course corrections. Fortunately for us, we were going through different business cycles whenever the new CEO came in, and we could benefit from the talent or the gift with the CEO brought with themselves. But my message to my team has been very uniform. Continue to work on one individual strengths, and all of us will continue to have a role to play, an important role to play. And if there are course corrections led by CEO which don't allow opportunities for us as a leader, for an individual as a leader to contribute directly, use the valuable time to upskill yourself with some talent or something you've always wanted to do. Learn a language or a musical instrument or develop some new skill set. Relish the time to be able to hibernate for a while before the next cycle of opportunities and challenges flow in. One of the other options, Bobby, which I've also tried and which has worked sometimes, is to silently find ways of delivering in your own style and prove that a different approach is also an option to the one advocated by the CEO. So it's a big, it's a high-risk strategy, but it's worth giving it a try if you are really strong in your convictions that it has worked in the past. So, that is, in a nutshell, that is what my advice to my team has been, and that is what I keep myself motivated as well when all these changes happen.
Right. Excellent advice. It's obviously been successful for you because you've continued to advance in the organization, and I'm sure you'll continue to enjoy success at Tata Steel. So thank you very much, Anil, for your valuable insights and advice. And thanks to our listeners. We hope that this week's episode of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes provided you with some practical solutions and insights to the challenges you face as you navigate your own leadership journey. So join us next week for another episode of Leadership Curveballs, Blind Spots, and Black Holes.